Hi, welcome to Soul Centered. This is Baruch Halevi. I'm here with Ariella Halevi. Hi, Ariella.
Hi, Baruch. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. We are Soul Centered. We are the co-founders of Soul Centered, which is a center for the afternoon of life. We believe deeply that the afternoon of life, midlife, and onwards is the best part of life, can be the best part of life if we have new rules. New tools to navigate the afternoon of life. As Carl Jung once said, the morning of the after of the of life and the afternoon of life are not the same. They should not be the same. And the rules that got you through the morning will not only not get you through the afternoon, but will fail you in the afternoon. That's sort of what he said. I paraphrased it. And that's what we do, is we work with people to help guide them through the afternoon of life. And that's why we started the Soul Centered podcast, this podcast, to be a resource for our clients that we work with, guiding them through the afternoon of life, but also to anybody, to everybody, to you out there listening, because there aren't enough places and spaces to have these conversations, to consciously, proactively navigate this very important time. Again, midlife onwards, doesn't really matter where you find yourself in the afternoon of life, but if you are in the afternoon of life, this is a conversation for you, and that's the conversation we're going to have today. So with that, we're going to be talking about the morning of life today, because it's impossible to know where you're going if you don't know where you've come from. And so we want to focus on where we've come from, specifically the rules that have been the way we've navigated the morning of life, again, up until, let's say, let's call it 40, but it's a bell curve. Some people earlier, some people later, some people never. But again, around 40, things begin to shift physically, emotionally, logistically out in your life, certainly spiritually. And the rules in the morning have looked very different than the rules in the afternoon.
Right. I think the morning really is about shaping your identity and your beliefs, asking when we ask these questions as we head into the afternoon of life, but we have to go backwards to go forwards, right? We have to look where we came from in order to move into and shift into the afternoon. So these morning goals are really important when we look and observe how we grew up. What our thoughts were, what our vows that we made when we were younger. I would even say, for those of you that believe in past lives, it's even a shift into looking at what you came into this life as a soul and as a person, what you came in to this life with. What things did you carry with you? So that's really what we're going to do today, is look at those morning goals and look at the ways that we shifted into them and how we can shift out of them and through them.
Yeah, and I think it's about making a stand in your life to question and to challenge what has been handed to you, what has been handed to us. It's very hard to do prior to, again, we're going to just, I'm just going to say 40 for ease, midlife. It's very hard to do that because you're so busy. You're building, you're creating, you're expanding, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with that. We need to go through the morning and this outward expansion phase to grow, to participate in the world, but we don't necessarily challenge or question our inherited values, our inherited rules. We don't really stop and think, well, why am I pursuing this? Sometimes we think we've chosen, but have we really chosen? Did we choose our college major? Did we choose our profession really deeply from a soul place, a soul calling? And that's the opportunity of midlife and onwards, is to challenge those assumptions, to question our rules. And that's what we're going to do now. So let's talk about the afternoon of life, really challenging, questioning the assumptions. I'd say that the starting point is around a fundamental idea of, again, outward expansion to, and this, a lot of this comes from Wayne Dyer and his book and movie, The Shift. And he inspired within us this idea of shifting from the morning to the afternoon. And if you haven't seen his kind of, it's a movie, but it's a documentary on what it means to shift from the morning to the afternoon, or as also the book, to think about what are the morning rules? What are the afternoon rules? And the first rule he talks about is this one that it's going to resonate with you, because if you're in the morning, or if you've been through the morning, and if you're listening to this, you're either one of those two. Who I am is what I have. You want to talk about that one, Ariel?
Sure. So if we think about these morning rules, who I am is what I have. This is something that we have all been through. This is something that Baruch and I have been through many, many times. It's this idea, it's identifying with our ego self, our outer self. And it's the idea that the more that we have, the more it makes up our identity. So the more money, the more shiny tools, the more things, the more material wealth that we acquire, the more we are who we are. And that is a false assumption, obviously. Most of us, I think, could say, even when we lived in our morning of life, we would often say, well, that's not true about us. But, you know, as we look back, we look at our life and we think, you know what, we were busy building life. And so you get caught up, and you also get caught up in this idea, you know, in your early morning, you get caught up in shifting from your parents' ideals and the way you grew up and living in your parents' homes to shifting into adulthood, which brings on a lot of ego identity of what I have is who I am.
It's not bad. It's important. You know, you have to have certain things. You have to have shelter. You have to have food. You have to have beyond that. It's not about just living as an aesthetic, as a monk on the mountaintop. But, you know, study after study after study has shown that once you hit a certain threshold of having enough, whatever that means, and it's different for everybody, beyond that, it's diminishing returns. And it's just more for more sake. You got to have enough to function, to thrive. It isn't about, again, a bare minimum, but it also isn't about a maximum, and more is better. Because in the morning of life, that's what we're led to believe. You know, more, the definition of your abs, and more decimals on the other side of your bank account, and more titles. I'm a title junkie, right? A professional education, get as many degrees and certificates and trainings as I possibly can. And you just get to this point where you realize, I'm not just increasing who I am, I'm just increasing what I have.
Well, I think it shifts into our second morning rule, which is who I am is what I do, right? So if we live from the outer self instead of living from the inside out, we become human doings versus human beings, right?
That's what the Dalai Lama said that.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
I always say Wayne Dyer, and I, you know, right. Wayne Dyer, but this one is the Dalai Lama.
Yes, this is the Dalai Lama's phrase of, we are human doings, we are human beings, not human doings. And when we shift from morning to afternoon, we recognize that perhaps we've been living in the human doing versus the human being. So early on in life, we learn that what we do and how well we do it defines who we are. And what I think that most people have found as they shift slowly into the afternoon is that that is quite exhausting. When we live from the outside in, it is a constant rat race. It's constantly trying to one up everybody else. It's also it's a product of busyness. We become so busy and so competitive that the outer parts of us take over, and it's not a sustainable model. That's why a lot of people in midlife crash. You've heard of, obviously, of midlife crisis, right? So the reason why we have midlife crisis is because we are crashing from not remembering that we are human beings and not human doings.
It's not only exhausting, it's ultimately destructive and devastating, because it's unsustainable. I can't keep doing. If I'm defining myself by what I do, you're going to do less by definition. At 40, you can't do as much as 20, just from an energetic level. But then you start getting into, well, what happens when, you know, who I am is what I do, and what I do is my profession. And there comes a point when your profession is no longer what you do or what you can do. How many professionals have I buried? I've done 500 funerals as a rabbi. How many of them were, and by and large, not always true, but especially true with men, were men who had no identity outside of their profession. The moment they retired is the stopwatch began on their death and their demise.
We have seen it also. We have seen it many, many times. And what I think we've also seen in being the rabbi and rabbi's wife of two large synagogues is to see that who I am also, what I do also pertains to what I look like, what my body, you know, you talked about the abs. And so it's not only what I do, but it's also what my body looks like. A lot of us are caught up in the idea that our body should look a certain way. I mean, this is a lot, I think it's men and women, but I work with a lot of women that have to shift into the afternoon, including myself, that really struggle with this idea that when you live from the inside out, you have to give up the control of what's outside of you because it's not always real, right? So living from your higher self, you understand that you are enough, that you're focused on being an experience in life versus acquiring the perfect body, acquiring all of the fancy tools and the stuff of life.
You know, we're going to spend a lot more time on this one than the others. So let's just keep going with this one. I just want to make a distinction. You segued by saying, you know, being a rabbi and a rabbi's wife, there's a lot of focus on the body. I think you missed a step there. Not too many people hired me because of my wonderful body as the rabbi. But what, you know, as you're saying, my hair of blessed memory. But you know, it's outward, external, right? Look, the outward appearance of it and what that represents and standing in front of people, whatever profession you're in or not a profession, it's being judged by those external circumstances, those external things. But also for me as a rabbi of a synagogue, it was very, very painful because I started to identify, it's not what I do, it's who I am. It's a slippery slope from what I do to who I am. And then when it's no longer what you do, as it's no longer what I do, there was a painful process, separation from that identity. Well, if I'm not the rabbi, who the hell am I? You know, I went from being wanted and needed by 2,000 people to moving to a mountaintop 5 years ago on this very day. This is July 15th. And right. 5 years ago, we made Aliyah and moved to Israel, literally to a mountaintop in the Middle East where nobody wanted me. Even my own kids and, you know, my wife were all survival mode. Nobody needed me. In the same way that I was needed a week prior to that. And so for the next few years, I had massive identity crisis because I was no longer what I did.
Right. And it does shift us into the third rule of the morning, which is who I am is what others think of me. Mm-hmm. So if you think about your life and think about how you build your identity, similar to what you did as a rabbi or what we all do in our family of origin and just out in the world, it's a slippery slope to live in society and be in relationships and not worry and build our identity upon what other people think of us. Eleanor Roosevelt said, what other people think of me is none of my business. And B and I used to have a great yoga teacher who always used to quote this. And it really settles in when you think about living your life from the inside out, which is what we've been talking about, or from the outside in. When you live your life from the outside in, then you are a sponge for what every single person has to say about you. Imagine the influx of emotions and destruction that we occur in our bodies and our psyches when we base our identity on the outside on the outside in.
And you're living in reaction. You know, Viktor Frankl, my teacher, talks the difference about life being reaction and response, right? In the first half, the morning of life is so reactionary. You're reacting, especially to what other people think about you. So you go this path and not that path. You date this person and not that person. You choose this profession and not that profession because of external circumstances. You're reacting as opposed to what, you know, we work with in our own life and guiding other people is responding, response able, to the ability to respond. And that begins, like Ariella, like you're talking about, from shifting from outside to inside.
Exactly. And what I do a lot, I think both of us do when we work in groups and with clients, is we ask and we kind of dig deeper underneath the outside of our clients is, and ourselves, of course, is to ask the question, who am I? Right? Who am I when I release my beliefs, my titles, what other people think of me? There's a lot of shoulds, guilt, and expectations that we build upon ourselves, that we take with us into the afternoon of life. And when we get there, we say to ourselves, who are we really? And that is the question when you strip away. I think of what's coming up for me is my mom passed away almost 2 years ago. And watching her slowly die over 6 years was this process of her releasing all of, you know, she released her hair. She released what her body looked like. She released her title. She literally couldn't work anymore. She released all the titles within her. And what was left as she was passing was purely just a soul. And so, you know, God willing, we can all answer these questions before we are passing away. When we strip away all of that, what lies underneath you?
Right. And there's this moment in the Bible where Moses says to God, what's your name? Right. I want to name you. I want to quantify you. I want to put you in a box so that I can understand you. And God's response is, I am. I am that I am. And Wayne Dyer does have a deep teaching on this. I think also Thomas Merton does as well. I've been reading a lot of Thomas Merton. And I am is the name of the divine. And it's our name. The moment you say, I am a rabbi, a teacher, a lawyer, I am happy, I am sad, I am energetic, I am lethargic, you're quantifying yourself. You're putting yourself in a box. You're separating yourself. What you're saying, Ariella, is that we are what we are. We are a soul. We are this spirit. We are this unbounded energy and identity. And the morning of life is about putting it in a box, in 1,000 boxes. And you get to this point where you're so compartmentalized, you're so boxed in that no wonder you can't suffocate. You can't breathe. You feel suffocated. You can't find your way because over the course of decades and decades, you now are so stuck that you're going to have a shattering one way or the other.
Exactly. And it leads us into our fourth rule of the morning, that I am separate from everyone else. And when we believe we are separate from everyone else, then we literally forget that we are actually whole and we are one, but we imagine that we are not. Right. So when we forget that we are that spirit, that soul, when you are in your high self or soul experience, if you're experiencing your soul, you recognize that there is no judgment. It's a really hard, I mean, I know you and I struggle with this one. It's a really hard place to get. It's a challenging place. You can get there. To live in your high self means that you go out into the world and realize that you are never separate from anybody else. And the only thing that separates you is our ego. We talk, and Wayne Dyer always says, edging God out. Ego is edging God out. And when we use judgment to make us feel whole, then we are using our ego or our lower selves in order to feel better about ourselves. But separation, and again, separation just leaves us small. So remembering, sorry, you want to go on? Just remembering that when we live in that higher self place, we are already one.
And it's a necessary outgrowth of the first three rules. I am what I have. I am what I do. I am what others think of me. So then you're going to have separation. You're going to have this, I am separate. And then it creates these subsidiary, secondary rules of grab as much as you can before other people do. It creates competition. Edging God out means edging other people out. And so it creates this competitive, cutthroat environment, whether we realize it or not. And then we feel alienated and disconnected. And you can just feel the whole morning spiraling downward because of this idea that we are separate, when in fact we are not.
We are. I mean, we are really one. We are whole. And we also separate ourselves when we believe that we are separate from what's missing in our lives. It's like this section of the morning rules is really about the ego and separation. And the ego tries to tell us that we are insufficient, you know, that because we don't have enough, because the person next door has what we want, then we are not good enough. And somehow we're separate from what we really want to manifest in our lives. And you and I do a lot of work with clients on this, like this idea that when you hit a wall and you think that you are separate from your ideal life or from what you want to acquire or manifest or dream up in this life, instead of closing down your dreams and feeling separate from them, what is it going to take inside of you to imagine that the world, or if you look at the world through a spiritual lens or a soul lens, that everything is possible if we put our manifestation tools to mind. If we go for the things that we want, then we are not separate. We are on a mission to manifest beautiful things with the divine in our lives.
And it's a fundamental, it's a paradigm shift. The morning of life is about seeking what we want outside of us. Even the things we want that are inside of us, we seek them outside of us. How many times do I deal with morning of life, anybody of life, but more especially morning of life people, and I talk about meditation, and their first response is, well, what do I buy, right? Do I need like the Zafu and the Zabutan, the meditation cushions and the gongs and the this, the that, the that, the that. And it's about, no, it's a shifting, it's not outside of you, it's inside of you. And I guess one of the fundamental things I do with clients, I think you do as well, is help them realize that we're not going to acquire anything in this process. We're going to remember who we are. It's sort of like when Michelangelo was asked about carving the David statue. And he said, you know, I don't carve the David, I remove everything that's not David. David was in this, the marble. What we have to do in the afternoon of life is stop trying to acquire what we are, and as opposed to remember and return to who we are.
I like what you said about David. I really resonate with that. I think that when you chisel down and you get into the core of who you are, you realize, as we said, that separation does not occur. But I think if you go deeper, we realize that we feel separated because we are in emotions, because we have beliefs, like from the morning of life. And that when we are in our love, when we are in the emotion of love from our heart, you know, I work a lot with the heart chakra and the chakras in the body. When we are in our heart chakra, then we feel love and we feel whole. And we recognize that we are not separate. But when there's really two main emotions, right? Fear and love and everything that goes along with those two things. But when we are in love, we are able to parent ourselves to feel our emotions and to recognize the oneness between all of us and that we are not separate. So really it's about living from that place is like a win-win attitude. I win when I live in love, I win. And you being in relationship with me, you also win because you experience my love and my high self.
It's a great point. You know, that fear and love are mutually exclusive. You can't hold both simultaneously. And so much of what drives all of us, especially in the morning, is this idea of scarcity, which is fear. It's fear, you know, it's, and I think Tony Robbins, somebody says it's an acronym, false evidence appearing real. It appears real to us and therefore drives us. I've been working a lot with executives and you know, CEO types, and so many of them are coming from this worldview of scarcity. And so they're operating from a place of fear. And what I'm helping them do is transition to a place of security and abundance, which is love. Love, by definition, isn't finite. There isn't a finite amount of our love. We have four children, right? It isn't a divvy it up into 25% and you each get 25%. It's an infinite amount of love. And as long as we can convey that to our children, I think we even see it in our children. They respond differently when it doesn't feel like it's coming. Their life is built on scarcity and they got to grab as much as they can where they are. It shifts everything when you shift from fear to love.
Exactly. And ultimately it comes to our sixth morning rule, which is this belief that we're separate from God. Now, you can say God, or you can say the divine, the high self, the soul, whatever resonates with you. But when I think about this one, it really hits home with me. You know, for so many years, I have a deep relationship with the divine. I call her many different things, and it depends on the day. But my relationship with the divine has always been, over the years, especially the morning years, was that the divine is outside of me. And that creates a separation. You know, when you think, I like this quote that we wrote, that we put down here, "I will give you an orange if you tell me where God is," the young saint responded without hesitation. "I will give you two oranges right now if you can tell me where God isn't." So why do we have this idea, and I don't know if it's a religious idea or where it comes from, that this idea that the divine is separate from us? Wouldn't it have served me personally better, me who, you know, I struggled for years with emotional eating and with body image and body dysmorphia issues, if I had believed really that the divine was inside and outside, that the divine and expansive energy that the divine creates within and around us is both. It's without us, outside of us, and inside of us. Perhaps that would have changed, or we can help, you know, just by saying this, I hope I can help change this idea that there is no place where the divine isn't.
And, you know, that's been my struggle with religion. I think religion is got wonderful qualities and values and attributes, but I struggle with it, which is partially why I'm no longer a congregational rabbi, because I think it's very morning rule oriented, right? It's this, it becomes this accumulation of the doings, of the do's and the don'ts, and it becomes a checklist. And, you know, to be closer to God, you do more that gets you closer to God. And it's this idea of becoming, as opposed to this primal religious spiritual idea, which you're talking about, is I am the divine, right? The divine is in me. I am not separate from this source. Kabbalah teaches this very much, that we are a nitzutz, a spark of the divine. It isn't to say that you're God. It's to say that you're a spark of this God, of this divinity, and that's powerful. So in my experience, personally, and guiding other people, it's about owning your power, right? Not being afraid of that power. And what I find in the afternoon of life, as we start to wrap this up, is that if I can instill this in myself and feel this love, feel this abundance, feel this power, then I move out into the world and show up in ways that I never would have or could have in the morning of life, because there's this self-transcendence that can happen in the afternoon of life. Viktor Frankl talks a lot about transcending yourself. The only way you can ever get to that place is by believing you are enough.
Exactly. I agree. And I think that, you know, for those of you that are listening that have a hard time figuring out if you are living in that place of the divine or source within you and around you, you can just ask yourself this question: am I living in creativity? Am I living in kindness and love and beauty? Do I believe in expansion and abundance and receptivity? These are all seven expressions of what it feels like to live in source, to live in divine. And those are things that, you know, in conclusion, those are really things that both Bea and I work with clients, is to how to navigate and journey through the morning of life and shift you into the afternoon. And the afternoon really is about transformation and feeling these core attributions and owning your power, right? We talk a lot about the tools to feel empowered. Why? Because when we are in expansiveness and love and feeling that source divine is within and around us, then we have the ability to change our lives and change the lives around us. And ultimately that, especially with the pandemic and what we're all going through, that's really what I see as the energy in the world right now is that there is a big, huge, fearful energy out there right now. And you can change that with the way that you live. This is an opportunity to transform your life and bring new rules and new tools and new love into your life.
And I think it's in the work that I'm doing a lot with clients right now, it's so important to have a place, a space, a person to help challenge us on the rules that we don't even realize we're carrying. And the opportunity in the afternoon of life, in 40 onwards, wherever you are in that space, is to create some time and space for yourself to examine. You know, what are my rules? What were they in the morning? What are they now? Am I still carrying dead rules that no longer apply or that I don't want to apply? And so it's really mapping out your life, taking back the reins so that you don't live in reaction, but you can respond, and responding to the time you are in your life with the right rules. And that's really the work that we do, is helping people think about their life, consciously map it out, feel their life, live their life, and cultivate this power and this purpose and this passion so that you can move through the afternoon of life in a way that you couldn't even have dreamed of in the morning of life.
Very true. I mean, ultimately, to sum it up and to finish, is to remember that you are whole. I mean, what B said is exactly right. And it's just ultimately, we help you remember that you are already home, that you are already whole, and that you are your soul. So we hope you enjoyed today's conversation. We would love to connect with you and continue this conversation. You can join our email list, head over to our website at www.mysoulcenter.org. Don't forget the my. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you're welcome to join us in a discovery session, a complimentary session to discover what kind of results you are going to get specific to the needs in your afternoon of life. You can also follow us on social media at My Soul Centered on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star review, and please share it with your loved ones so that everyone can benefit from these tools. And with that, namaste and peace.
Take care. Bye-bye.